7 decades of great music, Z103.com. Good Friday morning. Time for episode 26 of The Basics and Economic Development. Mark Wickersham, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Monty. Good to be back. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. It's great to have you back. I look forward to seeing you every week. It adds a touch of class to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, hey, today's show, today's commentary, again, keeping to the idea of the theme is the basics of economic development, right?
Yes.
Okay, this is somewhat of a frustration for me as a professional, but it's a discussion that is, for the community and for the listeners, probably a bit on the pedantic side, I suppose. But the idea today is to discuss the distinctions between the disciplines, if you will, of economic development instead of or versus what's known as community development.
I can imagine there would be some confusion there. Go ahead and dive right into it.
And there are definite distinctions that most people would have no idea. And I appreciate that. And both disciplines support one another, so it does get confusing sometimes. But here's what I hear. That I have a couple of dear friends of mine who will say things like, hey, hiking trails are economic development, or housing is economic development. Well, the truth is you really have a challenge doing economic development if you don't have enough housing, and that hiking trails make it easier for us to be attractive for the economic development process and system. But the simple truth is these are different disciplines, and the things are different, and the easiest way to understand it is that economic development is a process. It's a verb, it's not a noun. Where community development also is a process, but you're creating community assets that go along with helping the community grow. So again, at the heart of the matter, there's also a difference between economic development, community development, and frankly, the political process. There are three lanes of traffic there. Professionally, the discipline of community development, according to sources like the University of Oklahoma, which is recognized nationally as the premier institution for both undergraduate and graduate programs for both lanes of traffic, community development and economic development, and the University of Connecticut, UConn, if for basketball fans out there, they both institutions define community development as efforts to build and improve the assets of a community in order to enhance the local quality of life. And then they go on. It's like parks, schools, historic districts, revitalization efforts in targeted areas. And it's a planned effort and process to build community-based assets. Both universities, however, on the other hand, define economic development as a profession that is a strategically organized effort to attract, retain, and expand employers, privately owned businesses. And you do that process in order to create jobs, create opportunities for creating new wealth, and to help privately owned businesses succeed. And as those things happen, other good things will follow in our communities. I remember former Mayor Brooks Fetters quoting former Governor Mitch Daniels at the time by saying, look, companies are not locating in Huntington to fix our problems. They're coming here to be profitable and to run good businesses. And if they're successful, yes, other good things will follow and happen. But it's important to keep things in the right order. Now, on community development type things, hiking trails, for example, are community assets, which are they're lovely. I just used our trails last night. My wife and I enjoy hiking on our community's trails, and we have some of the most beautiful opportunities anywhere in Northeast Indiana for hiking on very well-developed and maintained trails. Kudos to the groups like HARTA and the city and others at the county for tackling that effort, because it really is wonderful and helpful to our community. But just by themselves, those investments don't create jobs. And there aren't businesses that exist simply because we have those, although, you know, we do have some retail bike shops and other things in our community that would be less successful without, you know, those assets in the community. But at the same time, that's not why industrial parks develop. Residential housing development obviously is necessary for a community regardless of whether there are other economic development initiatives going on, because very simply put, without housing, you don't have population, and without population, business development is really difficult to do. So in the end, yes, communities need to do both processes in both disciplines, but there are differences. Further kind of complicating the discussion is, in today's culture, is the high-charge political world that we're going through because of the presidential election and the historical and future issues that really are at stake in this particular election. And the fact is that both economic and community development have been done on the primary assumption of a capitalist economy and a representative constitutional republic. And there's a lot at stake in this coming election, and arguably those fundamentals might actually be at issue. And we simply can't take it for granted. That leads to a different discussion. It's one thing to have the conversation of the distinction between community development and economic development with someone who is a fan of, scholars and authors, founding fathers, you know, people like John Locke, people like Adam Smith. It's another if they're fans of, Saul Alinsky and Karl Marx and people on the left. That sets up a completely different construct as we have these conversations about the distinctions and the priorities. And so I just wanted to spend a few minutes this morning making sure that there is an awareness to some extent of the fact that there are different professional disciplines and that they complement each other, they work together. But they're distinctly different in how you exercise and practice those professions.
You had mentioned there would be a difference in discussion if people were in favor of people on the left and as opposed to people on the right. And I find myself, the older I get, going more for, isn't there somewhere in the middle that we could meet to where both systems win? I mean, you look at Christianity talking about helping one another. I guess then Jesus may have been labeled a communist. But, isn't there a way where both sides win? Essentially, you can have capitalism and try to get people to have more compassion and growing a community.
Well, I hope the listening audience at this point in the number of shows that we've done together understand that for me personally, I have wonderful friends at both ends of the spectrum politically. And so I'm personally struggling with that exact question. What happens to people that are kind of in the middle? And at the moment, our political culture, you get hit from both sides.
Yes.
The challenge as we move forward in our society is to simply, in my opinion, figure out how to live together as a community. Because we are, every individual is unique. Every individual has strongly held beliefs, and I'm not exactly the right person to suggest that somebody's wrong. Although if somebody says 2 + 2 = 5, I know that's not the case. But what do you do when you're in a society where you're in a public meeting, and the public, for all the right reasons, are really passionate about their positions, but it ends up being a group arguing that 2 + 2 = 5 when you know it isn't, and you know there's nothing you can do to convince them otherwise. That to me is frankly at the heart of what our faith is about as we practice our religious beliefs. How do we address and work with each other on those questions. And I don't have a perfect solution. I just know that wisdom and discernment is talked about a lot in the Christian scriptures, and as well as in the Quran. It's interesting, when I was a university student, I spent a semester in Washington, D.C., and did a research project, this is way off the base of the basics of economic development, but my research paper was based on the idea that three of the world's major religions, all of which that are individually about peaceful coexistence, you look at where they're headquartered, in essence, in the Middle East, and it's pretty hard to see how that works. You know, the Middle East is known for armed conflict. They're going through it now, and yet, individually, each of the three religions, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, are all three at their core very peaceful religions. So how does this sort of thing happen? And that was the point of the research I was doing. And I still, spent a semester researching it. People have spent careers and their lifetime trying to answer those questions, and it's not easy.
No, I understand. But it does circle back around, because it really shows that you have a compassion and a desire to see things get better overall. And that's why you have such a flair for the economic development, which you've worked very hard at and continue to work hard at. So I appreciate you coming by and sharing all this.
I was part of a film production yesterday for marketing Northeast Indiana. And one of the things that I contributed to the discussion was the fact that, and many of our listeners will know, that the nation's 911 emergency response system was first advocated and became law because of Huntington's late Congressman J. Edward Rausch. The nation has a 911 system because of Huntington, Indiana. And it leads to the point of what I do in economic development. I'm here to help. And so it's like Huntington created and defined the easy way to call for help. And that's what I try to do every day as a LEDO, as we're called, is to help businesses invest and be successful in Huntington.
Well, thanks. And thanks for another awesome program this morning. I appreciate you stopping by.
You're very welcome. I'll be back again next week.
All right. Let's get back into the music right here on the Z.